Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Somehow the arts and entertainment world decided that heaven is populated only by angelic harpists floating on clouds. It's no wonder that people think it's going to be dreary. Well, today on Turning Point, Dr. David Jeremiah sets the record straight with some biblical reasons why heaven will be anything but dull. From revealing the mysteries of heaven, here's David to introduce today's message. Won't heaven be boring?
Well, when I was a student at Dallas Seminary, I worked for the Illinois-California Express, which is a freight company. I loaded freight trucks and actually drove a bobtail in Dallas for a couple of years while I was a student there. And everybody knew that I was a seminary student, and they called me preacher boy and teased me a lot. But they would ask me questions, and I can't tell you how many times I heard one of these guys say something like this: "Well, I don't want to go to heaven. I'm going to go where my drinking buddies are, where you can have some fun," as if hell is going to be fun. And I would talk to them about it, and you know, once in a while I could get them to think seriously about that statement. That's a very foolish statement to make. You aren't going to be hanging out with your drinking buddies in hell, I promise you. You're going to be isolated without any friends, without any resources, without any hope, apart from God, not just for a short time, but forever. That's not one of the things you want to have happen as you look to the future. You need to go to heaven, and you can go to heaven. You just need to make a reservation on this earth before you die by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. We're talking about it all through the month of July, so don't miss a single session. And please don't miss today, because today we're going to take part one of Won't Heaven Be Boring? July has been selected as the month to emphasize the importance of your sending a letter to this ministry. What's the purpose of it? Tell us how Turning Point's touching your life. Give us any stories of things God has done in your life or in your family through this ministry. Tell us the things that you wish we would teach. Tell us what the magazine has meant in your life. All of this information is really important to us as we look to the future. And your letter and your gift mean everything. We want to say thank you with this book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. Well, here we go. This is part one of Won't Heaven Be Boring?
I've been giving you a little epitaph to add to your collection, and here's the third one in the series. It goes right along with this message I'm going to preach called Won't Heaven Be Boring? Here's the epitaph. Here lies a poor woman who always was tired, for she lived in a place where help wasn't hired. Her last words on earth were, "Dear friends, I am going where washing ain't done, nor sweeping, nor sewing. And everything there is exact to my wishes, for where they don't eat, there's no washing of dishes. Don't weep for me now, don't weep for me ever. I'm going to do nothing forever and ever." Now, that's what a lot of folks think heaven is all about. There's a word that has crept into our culture here in America that we read more and more about all the time. It's the word boring. And usually it's spelled with a lot of O's in the middle, like boring. It's the ultimate put-down in today's society. Michael Crichton is one of today's most brilliant writers and producers. In his bestseller, Timeline, he has something interesting to say on the subject of boredom. Crichton, who has a character in his book named Robert Doninger, who is the CEO of an enormous and highly successful secretive technology company. Near the end of the book, Doninger is addressing a group of people in his company's auditorium, and this is what he says. "In other centuries, human beings wanted to be saved or improved or freed or educated. But in our century, they want to be entertained. The great fear is not of disease or of death. The great fear is boredom, a sense of time on our hands, a sense of nothing to do, a sense that we are not amused. But where will this mania for entertainment end?" End of quote. In his profound book, Man in Search of Meaning, Viktor Frankl wrote that in actual fact, boredom is now causing and bringing psychiatrists more problems to solve than distress. And these problems are growing increasingly crucial. It's almost as if what we remember hearing from our children when they were little has never been extricated from our system. Mommy, I'm bored. And if we're not careful, in our culture, we grow up the same way. With this fear of boredom in our hearts, it's no wonder we're concerned about heaven. We think, if we're honest, my, if I'm bored down here, what in the world is it going to be like up there? Huckleberry Finn didn't think much of heaven. In the opening chapter of Mark Twain's classic, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn, Huck is living with the spinster, Miss Watson, who is a starchy old woman who is bent on reforming Huckleberry Finn. She's going to knock the wildness out of him if it takes up to the last day. Her principal weapon in doing this is religion. She bludgeons him with Bible verses. She threatens him with hell. And she coaxes him with heaven. In his streetwise, cocky, cockeyed way, Huck tells us what he thinks of all of this. Quote, "She went on and told me all about the good place. She said all a body would have to do there was go around all day with a harp and sing. Forever and ever, just with a harp and sing. So I didn't think much of it. I asked her if she reckoned Tom Sawyer was going there. And she said, not by a considerable sight. I was glad about that because I wanted him and me to be together." End of quote. Science fiction writer Isaac Asimov writes, "I don't believe in the afterlife, so I don't have to spend my whole life fearing hell or fearing heaven even more. For whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse." In his book, The Journey of Desire, John Eldridge, who has become a very popular writer in our culture, adds his thoughts to this subject. He says, "Nearly every Christian I have spoken with has some idea that eternity is an unending church service. We have settled on the image of the never-ending sing-along in the sky, one great hymn after another, forever and ever, amen. And our heart sinks, forever and ever? That's it? That's the good news? And then we sigh and we feel guilty. We feel guilty that we are not more spiritual. We lose heart and we turn once more to the present to find all the life we can find. Unfortunately, there are many Christians who believe that heaven will be boring. All we're ever going to do up there is strum on our harp and float around on clouds and polish the streets of gold. How boring can it get?" I want to give you five reasons why heaven will not be boring. I have a feeling some of you won't have not thought about some of these. Throughout the rest of this series, I'm going to be telling you about some things that we're going to be doing in heaven that will add to this whole mystery of why heaven won't be boring. But today I just want to give you five basic kind of philosophical, theological reasons why heaven will not be and could not ever be boring. Are you with me? Now let's see if we can get our arms around these five things, and it'll help us to think about all the rest of the things we think about heaven in a different way. First of all, heaven will not be boring because God is not boring. Did you know that? Heaven will not be boring because God is not boring. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 16:11, we read this about God. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." The psalmist said that when we get to heaven and we get near to God, at his right hand are pleasures that go on forever. And in his presence, there is the fullness, the completeness, the absolute explosion of joy. The first and fundamental reason why heaven will not be boring is because heaven is God's place and God is not boring. Wherever you got the idea that God was boring, I don't know. It may have been from guys like me who stand up and talk about him who sometimes are boring. I don't know. But God is not boring. Randy Alcorn, who's written the definitive book on heaven, says, our belief that heaven will be boring betrays a heresy that God is boring. There is no greater nonsense. Our desire for pleasure and the experience of joy come directly from God's hands. He made our taste buds. He put the adrenaline in our system. He gave us our sex desires and the nerve endings that convey pleasure to our brains. Likewise, our imaginations and our capacity for joy and exhilaration were made by the very God we accuse of being boring. Are we so arrogant that we imagine that human beings came up with the idea of fun? The very qualities that you and I admire in others, every one of them are true of God. He's the source of everything that you and I find fascinating. Who made Bach? Who made Beethoven? Who made Mozart? Who gave them their gifts? Who created music itself and the ability to perform it? All that is admirable and fascinating in human beings comes from our Creator. It's not God who's boring, it's us. Did we invent wit and humor and laughter? No, God did. We'll never begin to exhaust God's sense of humor and his love for adventure. The real question is this: how could God not be bored with us? Can I get a witness? One of the reasons why heaven's not going to be boring, friends, is because God is not boring. Are we there? God is the most exciting, adventuresome, creative person that you can imagine, multiplied 100 times over. It goes off the radar screen. You can't even comprehend a little bit of the excitement that is resident in the triune God with whom we're going to spend eternity forever and ever. Don't you tell me heaven's going to be boring. That's where my God is, and he's not boring. Now, I think that one we can get a hold of. But this next one is going to take a little bit of stretch and faith on your part. Are you ready for it? Number two, heaven's not boring because God is not boring, but heaven will not be boring because you will not be boring. Listen to me. I want to read some scripture to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Twice in that verse, what does it say about us? We're going to be changed. Philippians 3, 20 and 21 says it this way. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Heaven will not be boring, first of all, because God is not boring, but believe it or not, heaven won't be boring because you won't be boring. Just think of it for a moment. When you get to heaven, all of the reasons that you are boring now will have been reshaped into a perfect resurrection body, and they will be gone. I don't know why you're boring, but God knows. And whatever it is that causes you to be so awfully boring, God is going to take it all away. Amen? And you know what? He's going to have to work harder on some of us than on the others. Isn't that true? And some of you are sitting next to your spouse and you're thinking, oh, man, what a glorious day that will be. And then you're going to tell me we're not going to be married in heaven. I mean, that's a really sad story. Joseph Bailey wrote a book about death called A View from the Hearse. It's got a lot of humor in it, but it's got a lot of wisdom in it too. And in his book, he said this. He said, it must also be remembered that before believers live in heaven, they will experience radical change. A fetus in the womb is not ready for the earth until he goes through the radical change called birth. Until that change takes place, he cannot enjoy life in the new world. The believer will be changed. God has promised it. Let us not therefore prejudge or question God about things we do not fully understand on this side of that promised change. Now, I've really made two good points already, that heaven can't be boring because it's God's place, and God is totally opposite of boring. He's everything that is exciting. And secondly, I've told you that when you get to heaven, you're going to be so radically changed that no matter how boring you've been on this earth, there won't be one moment of boredom in your heart when you get there. Now, here's the third reason that heaven's not going to be boring, and that is heaven will not be boring because your friends won't be boring. All your boring friends that don't get saved aren't going to be in heaven. In Hebrews chapter 12, in verses 22 and 23, we have a list of some of the inhabitants of heaven. You see if you think this is not a pretty interesting list. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. The description of the heavenly community was written to believers who were alive on this earth. But by the way it is written, it expresses a truth that is already completed. In other words, as far as God is concerned, we are already seated with Christ in the heavenlies, and these are the people with whom we will spend all of eternity. It's pretty impressive to be on this guest list, is it not? We're going to spend eternity with all of the just men made perfect. Those are all the Old Testament saints. We're going to spend eternity with the people who are the firstborn. Those are the church. We're going to spend eternity with the angels. We're going to spend eternity with God. We're going to spend eternity with all of those who have been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And just as we have been changed as we go up in our resurrection, so they will have been changed. And so there won't be one iota of boredom in heaven. It can't get in the door, because the only thing that gets in the door in heaven are people, and all the boring people of this world are going to be changed before they walk in the door. You could not be bored in heaven if you tried. It would be impossible. Jonathan Edwards, the old Puritan writer, wrote this. He said, "No inhabitants of that blessed world will ever be grieved with the thought that they are slighted by those they love, or that their love is not fully and finally returned. There shall be no such thing as flattery or insincerity in heaven, but their perfect sincerity will reign throughout all in all. Everyone will be just what he seems to be and will really have all the love that he seems to have. It will not be as it is in this earth, where comparatively few things are what they seem to be and where professions are often made lightly and without meaning. But there every expression of love shall come from the bottom of the heart, and all that is professed shall be really and truly felt." Can you imagine being in an environment like that? I mean, even when you're with your best friends, even when you're having conversation down here with your best friends and you love them, don't you find yourself sometimes wondering, I wonder what they meant by that? I wonder what's behind that? Their expression on their face makes me wonder if they really mean that at the level they say they mean it. In heaven, there'll be none of that. In heaven, it'll be just total openness and vulnerability to one another with no fear of any kind of reprisal, because we will be God's people made over anew, perfectly in compatibility with one another, and able for the first time ever to enjoy that kind of intimate fellowship that we all long for in our hearts. Doesn't that give you a little bit of hunger just to have one moment like that down here? And we'd have moments like that, surely we do. But in heaven, that's the way it's going to be forever and ever. One of the exciting things about heaven will be the unlimited opportunity to fellowship with people of the various ages of history. Just think about it for a moment. There have been many people who have lived at different times who, if they had lived at the same time, would have been fast friends. But because they didn't live at the same time, they couldn't be friends. In heaven, that's all going to go away. Why would that not be possible in heaven when all of us will be there and it won't make any difference when we lived on earth? It'll make all the difference that we're in heaven living together. So we could be fast friends with people we've only read about in books. I'd like to have a great friendship with David and Joseph and Daniel from the Old Testament. Those are my three favorite people. I'd like to have someone walking down the streets of gold and say, "Oh, there's Joseph. And when they walk up to Joseph, have Joseph say, "You know what? I just had some angel food cake with David Jeremiah." Wouldn't that be great? I'd like to meet Jabez and ask him if he ever dreamed Bruce Wilkinson would make him so famous. I'd love to cultivate a relationship with Paul the Apostle and John the Beloved. I have quoted them so many times, I would like to personally thank C.S. Lewis and Charles Haddon Spurgeon, Andrew Murray, A.W. Tozer, and many others. Heaven's going to be such an incredible time of unlimited fellowship with people who've lived at all ages. But we're going to live together in community and be able to fellowship with one another forever and ever and ever. And as great as all of this is, it pales into insignificance when it is compared to being in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Heaven will not be boring, first of all, because God is not boring. Heaven will not be boring because you won't be boring. Heaven won't be boring because none of your friends will be boring. Here's the fourth reason. Heaven won't be boring because your work in heaven won't be boring. You say, "Oh my goodness, we have to work in heaven?" Well, I may be a little bit weird, but I'll tell you what, heaven without anything to do, without any work, I would be struggling with that. I love what I do so much. I just am anticipating that though I'm not going to have any souls to redeem in heaven, that God's going to find a way to use a preacher in heaven in some productive way so that I can maintain my desire to continue to serve him with the gifts he's given me. You know, one of the interesting things about the book of Revelation, and a lot of people don't see this when they read it the first time, but one of the interesting things about the book of Revelation is over and over in the book, there is a repetition of this thought of serving in heaven. And why we don't understand that, why we don't get that is just because we don't read it carefully. And I thought I'd just give you two or three of these verses so you can see what I mean. Heaven will not be boring because your work will not be boring. Revelation 7:15 says, "Therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple." Revelation 22:3 says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Revelation 1:1, "He sent and signified it by his angel to the servant John." Revelation 7:3, "Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." Revelation 11:18, "That you would reward your servants, the prophets and the saints." When we get to heaven, we're going to be the servants of the living God.
We'll have more about this tomorrow as we continue our discussion of "Won't Heaven Be Boring?" You know, out of sight, out of mind is kind of a proven truism, and heaven is definitely out of our human sight. So the only way to keep heaven in our mind's eye is to read and rehearse the truths about heaven that are found in the Word of God. But even when we do that, we find there are many things about heaven that are not easy to understand, because heaven is not like planet Earth. It seems so mysterious to us. That's why this series, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, is meant to answer and clarify some of those important questions. Christians wonder about their future home. They believe they're going to heaven, but they're just not sure what that means. So during the month of July, we're trying to answer some of the often unanswered questions about that place where we're going to spend eternity. We'll see you tomorrow.
For more information on Dr. Jeremiah's series, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, visit our website where we offer two free ways to help you stay connected: our monthly magazine Turning Points and our daily email devotional. Sign up today at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. When you do, ask for your copy of David's book, Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven, to be better informed about your eternal home. It's yours for a gift of any amount. You can also purchase the Jeremiah Study Bible in the English Standard and New International versions, as well as in standard or large print in the New King James, loaded with helpful notes and articles by Dr. Jeremiah. Visit davidjeremiah.org/radio for details. I'm Gary Hoogfleet. Join us tomorrow as we continue the series Revealing the Mysteries of Heaven. That's here on Turning Point with Dr. David Jeremiah.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.